Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios on a bench. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 55212-4CBS to get on the show. It's 4227. Toll free. We're going to get John McClain from the Houston Chronicle here coming up to talk about the Texans. They're playing the Bengals on Thursday night, and the game is obviously in Cincinnati. The number originally was 3. It moved to like 6.5. There's been so much uncertainty with the quarterback situation, if they're going to go with Watson or Savage. John McClain joins us from the Chronicle. How you doing, John?
I couldn't be better. Thank you.
So let's start with the Cushing news. We've talked about Brian on the show already for the first hour. I'll just say this. I'm friends with him. I've known him for a long time and his family. Obviously, this is very disappointing, I think, for Texans fans, the organization, the city, the team, everybody involved. He's obviously not going to appeal. It sounds to me like he's just flat out busted.
And I say the same thing. I've known him since he was a rookie. I've covered him for 9 years. Cushing's one of my all-time favorite players, and that includes the Oilers. But you said disappointing. That's a great way to put it. 10 games, his second violation. It's cost him $3.97 million. And that's a lot of money. And Cushing's undergone, I have more than 20 surgeries since he's been here. Bill O'Brien calls him every time we talk to him, the heart and soul of the defense. They drafted a second-round pick on an inside linebacker, Cunningham from Vanderbilt. Zach is not, I don't think he's ready to step in for Cushing. Bernardrick McKinney's the other inside linebacker, but Brian was going to be out a while anyway. He's got a concussion, but as it is, he can play the last 5 games. And I just feel like, you know, Bob McNair is a very a good owner. He doesn't like players getting in trouble. He backed Brian in 2010 when he tested positive for something I can't remember what it's called. It was part of the banned substance because it can be used to mask steroids. And so this one, I don't know. I think when he comes back for those last 5 games, could be the last 5 games he plays for the Texans.
Yeah, I actually said earlier, and it just breaks my heart because I know him, and he's been on my show since he was at USC. I know his mom and dad, and I'm friends with them, and I see his dad all the time, and it's just so embarrassing for him, I'm sure. I got to tell you, I don't think he's ever going to play any of those games. I think he's finished with the Texans.
Well, I think when he comes back on November 28th, I don't think they're going to cut him, and I don't think they will play those last 5 games. And I can be wrong. You may be right. But he's done everything that the Texans have wanted him to do other than test positive. He's great in the community. He was one of their out front guys on the hurricane relief front. He's been big doing things with the military. He's done everything the organization has wanted him to do off the field. And so I don't know if they would just – I don't think they would just cut him. But I could be wrong. A lot of it might depend on how the guys that take his place play.
I know he's gone overseas to Afghanistan and everything else with the military. I remember when he did that. Just the greatest guy. I can't believe that it's happened again, to be honest with you. It's very troubling. I got to tell you, it really ruined my night. I have to – change gears now and ask you about the quarterbacks. Why all the games with the quarterback situation? Like, there's been so many reports that it's Watson, and then, you know, Jason Lockenfor of CBS NFL Today said it was Watson, like, on Monday. It's changed every single day. O'Brien's, like, CIA operative. He won't talk about anything. Who are they playing tomorrow night? I mean, what is it? Like, they look so bad in week one. What's the difference? Just name the player.
Well, that's O'Brien. It's like we've all known it's Watson. Lockenfor broke that story Monday night. Everybody else had it yesterday. And the Texans still haven't announced it. O'Brien said there's no rule that says I have to. Every time he's changed a quarterback in the past, he's told us who it's going to be. Well, we know he's taken all the snaps with the first team in practice. And originally there was a little hesitation because he'd hurt his ankle and he was limping in the dressing room after the game. And then yesterday in the dressing room, he was walking with no problem. Then when he went out to test it, he was okay. So this is the first time he'll be on national TV since he beat Alabama to win the national championship. It's also his 22nd birthday. And so he'll expect to see him on the move a lot because their offensive line in that first game was as bad as any offensive line I've seen in my 38 years covering the NFL.
Wow, I guess that says it all. What about, so I watched them. They were terrible. And afterwards, you know, Savage, they benched him at the halftime. And now his agent is freaking out. Neil Schwartz is very upset with the Texans about Savage's treatment, how they've apparently benched him. What is that fallout like tonight?
Well, I don't. Neil talked to Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and agents will do that. I thought that Neil, I don't think Neil should have said one thing. He said, I talked to Tom. Tom said he's okay with me doing this. I wouldn't have said that part. And Neil's defending his guy. And Savage, of the six sacks that Tom had, I counted three. He held the ball too long. He admitted after the game he held the ball too long. But I thought he should have been able to start this game. I thought they should have put him back in. They put in Watson because he's got mobility and the offensive line was pathetic. And so I think they should have gone back to Savage in this game on the short week against Cincinnati and given him another chance. And also, based on the way Bill O'Brien has a musical chairs for his or a revolving door for his quarterback, it won't surprise me if Tom Savage is not playing at some point. If Deshaun Watson plays really bad and they lose or he gets beat up mentally and physically.
It sounds John McClain with us to the Chronicle, the great NFL writer in Houston. I think that I agree with you. They should have gone back to Savage, not based on how he played on Sunday, but on how they have a game 4 days later on primetime. And Watson's never been a part of anything like that. He's been leading that Gucci life at Clemson, playing candy-ass teams except for Alabama. And I won't say candy-ass. I mean, they got to play Florida State and the like, but I'm just saying he's had that Gucci lifestyle down there for a little while. I don't think he has any clue what's about to hit him tomorrow night.
Well, the funny thing about, I mean, the Bengals are about to hit him, and they've come off a 20-0 loss to Baltimore. I think the next game when he goes to Foxborough, that's going to be the one that he's not going to know what hits him because New England is trying to bounce back from that first game. I feel sorry for the Saints being the team that has to face the wrath of the Patriots, but Texans go up there. They could never beat New England, and that's going to be even bigger for him because of the atmosphere. I think Cincinnati only had 55,000 at their game against the Ravens, which was not, you know, that means there was a lot of empty seats in that stadium. So I don't know what to expect from him. If the offensive line is as bad as it was in the first game, then everything he does is going to have to be on the move. He's going to make mistakes. A lot of people say, well, if Dak Prescott can do it, why can't he do it? Well, Dak Prescott had the NFL's best offensive line, best running back, and multiple good receivers, and the Texans don't have the offensive line. They got good enough running backs, but not Zeke Elliott, and they got one good receiver they can count on. Other than that, they're fine. The position that everybody could count on before the last game was tight end. Now the entire position has been wiped out because of concussion, and they just promoted a rookie, undrafted rookie, from the practice squad to go along with backup offensive linemen playing tight end.
Wow, what a mess. You wrote about Hopkins, a great story about the pressure he's under and how they're going to target him in every game several times, not just a few, but more than a few. And then he signed that fat contract, and then they have all these problems like concussions you're talking about. Ellington's one of them. Fuller's got a collarbone. It goes on and on. Their tight ends are all out with concussions. I guess Jalen Strong and Miller are able to go. But I liked your piece on Hopkins. So nothing like letting the Bengals know exactly what you're going to do all night.
I think there's not much. They don't have a lot of options. You mentioned Braxton Miller. Braxton Miller's missed so much practice time this year, going back to the first preseason game. He missed a lot of time last year, and he's only played the position 2 years. He's way behind. Jalen Strong coming off of one-game suspension, so they got one really good receiver they can count on. But if the quarterback doesn't have time to throw, they're all going to be short passes, short, quick, and their offense is not very good anyway. They need their defense to play a great game. Defense was really disappointing against Jacksonville, gave up only 280 yards, 125 passing, but 155 rushing, and didn't force a turnover. They need their defense to make big plays, and it did not make big plays, and they need it really bad against the Bengals.
So, John McClain with us, the Chronicle. Tell me about, if you will, please, the aftermath of the Harvey and how things are coming along down in Houston.
Well, thanks for asking. There's a lot of people still affected. Their homes have been ruined. There's parts of Houston you can drive through, and everything stacked at the curb looks like a war zone. And that might be mansions, might be multi-million dollar homes, it might be homes built in the 50s. And it's so sad to see that people have lost everything inside their house. And then there's other people like myself who weren't affected at all. And it affected a lot of the city. There's still some roads that are impassable. Basically, though, for most people, it's back to business as usual, but so many who shattered their lives, shattered, it's never going to be the same. There's some neighborhoods that have been flooded now three times in the last year. The people who live there might as well try to sell their home to FEMA and then move somewhere else, because it's just the overwhelming sadness to see how many thousands they went through with their families and how their lives have been turned upside down. But now I don't think we've had any rain since the hurricane, and a lot of places you could go and wonder, hey, what was the big deal? I don't see any damage at all.
What is the feeling about Watt's status? Must be sky high for and he's not the only one, but he certainly stood at the forefront of raising all that money for the victims of it. You got to commend him for what he did, and I'm sure there were a lot of other guys on the teams down in Houston that got involved in trying to help people.
Well, he did that the first night the Texans were in Dallas. They went from New Orleans. I went there with them, or separate from them, but I went up there because of them, and he was in his room, and he got on social media and said, I'm putting $100,000 in, and I'm trying to raise $200,000. Now it's over $30 million. He told us last week he's putting a cutoff date on it. He's got to make sure, he says he's dividing his time equally, football, focused on football, but also on the release effort, because he's involved. He's doing it. He's helping distribute things, and a lot of his teammates are too. I've been amazed at the overwhelming support, not just from private people, but athletes. Leonard Fournette gave money, helping distribute. Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott, athletes from all sports. Athletes who aren't from the Houston area and still did it. Celebrities, owners, and other sports. It's just been unbelievable. And everybody is so appreciative of everything people have done to help.
Yeah, I'll bet. Lastly, real quick, I just want to ask you finally, I appreciate all your time. You're a great writer. I love having you on the show. What does JJ think of his brother's success in Pittsburgh so far?
He is really tight with both of his brothers, three black brothers starting in the NFL. TJ, as I knew when he was drafted, going to the Steelers, playing 3-4 outside linebacker where he could rush, and he's off to a quicker start than JJ. There's one big happy family. Mom and dad raised some good kids there, and they play in Houston. Pittsburgh plays in Houston on Christmas Day, and everybody's already talking about it, the two White brothers. And the other one, Derek's fullback the Chargers. And right now, JJ's looking up at TJ when it comes to sacks.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? I'm a Steeler fan, so I'll be pulling for the Steelers on Christmas so that I hope all of the Texans get coal in their stockings that day. Hey, listen, John, great stuff. I hope everybody in Houston somehow finds a way to the light at the end of the tunnel and that life gets better for everybody down there and everybody somehow pulls through and is okay and families are together and the great city of Houston gets back on its feet quicker than usual. I hope that all that comes to fruition. Thank you so very much for coming on CBS Sports Radio. Enjoy the time tonight.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for those kind thoughts. Everyone does appreciate it.
All right, there he is. John McClain, the legendary writer with the Houston Chronicle, covers the Texans on the bench.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4CBS. Rocky in Toronto, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yo, Pharrell.
Hey.
You know, I just want to talk about the Cleveland Indians, man. I don't know if I could see any weaknesses right now, man. Like, they just keep on winning again and again. And, you know, I think it all begins up getting a guy like Edwin Encarnacion in the offseason. He had a slow start, but you know what? With that pulling lineup, I mean, they seem like they're unstoppable right now. And I think that you got to give credit to the Indians office for what they've done. And when you look at the fact that they added Joe Smith and Jay Bruce, it solidifies the team. And, you know, I want to ask you a question. Do you consider Francisco Lindor a top five player in baseball the way he's playing baseball right now? And he's only 22. What do you think?
I think Rocky's a really good shortstop for sure. Again, tonight he had a couple of hits. I think he's a very exciting player without a doubt, and I know they love him. This lineup is insane. Chisenhall, Ramirez has blown everyone away, hitting over 300. To add Encarnacion with his, home run pop, and then to get Bruce at the deadline was incredible because he jacks home runs. He drove in three runs in this game today that they won their 21st. Everyone on that team, Santana, I like. The fact that they have great pitching. Clevinger won his 10th. They have these starters that have shut down everybody. They have a bullpen. Allen and Miller can shut the door on anybody. And they've been doing this without Miller. They have a setup guy in Shaw that does his job. They have other guys that do work in that bullpen. And they did it again today. They had, like, I think four guys come in and help close the deal on that game. So, the funny thing is, I've said, and Bruce hit another home run today, by the way, and Encarnacion, 90 RBIs, he's at 89. He's incredible. And look, I've said for 2 months, not just 21 games, but for 2 months I've been on this show saying flat out that they're the best team in baseball. And that they're better than everybody. But I still think that there's some solace in the fact that you could say they've done this too early, that they're hot at the wrong time. Late August and early September doesn't cut it for me. October is when you want to be hot. So the team, as you know, in baseball that's hot in October wins the World Series. It's not always the best team that wins the trophy. Seriously, it's not always the best team. And the Indians could have won it last year. They were within outs of winning the World Series. They had the the Cubs right where they wanted them, and they let it slip through their fingers. They remind me of the Royals. They're back again. They could possibly go back to the World Series for a second time in a row and win it like the Royals did. They lost, and then they won it. They remind me of them. I talked to Scott Miller about it last night from Bleacher Report. He agrees that they're the same kind of team that went and failed and then came back and really just beat everyone down and got back to it, and they're going to the playoffs, and we'll see what they do. But I still think it's a very cautious time so as to not get ahead of yourself and crown them already. Because anything can happen in a series, as the Red Sox found out at the hands of the Indians last year. Everybody thought the Red Sox were going to win that series, and they got swept. You never know what's going to happen in these playoff series. So, you know, it's one of the greatest streaks ever in baseball. There's no denying that. But I would rather have that streak in October than when they had it. When they had it now, all it did was solidify the division, you know, seal up their playoff destiny, and now they're going to go see if they can get hot in October and beat everybody in the playoffs because they're better than everybody. But these teams that are going to be in this playoff this year on all fronts are really good. All these teams are capable. Like the Astros are capable. The Red Sox are capable. All of these teams that are going to be in it, you know, even the wild cards are capable. There's a lot of people writing that the Yankees can dance with the Indians. I don't believe that because I've already seen the Indians kick the Yankees' ass recently, and that's all I needed to see, that they weren't in the same league with them. I just think the Indians are a better team. But any of these teams, the National League teams, people talking about the Dodgers that they're going to win it automatic was 2 months ago, and now they have about as much chance as I do of winning the World Series. I don't think they're playing good baseball anymore. So all these other teams that are playing good baseball, the Nationals, the Diamondbacks, the Cubs, all these teams have a shot. And the playoffs are going to be fantastic.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
So tomorrow you got Houston and Cincinnati on CBS. Sunday, 14 games. Philly, Kansas City, Minnesota, Pittsburgh. I love that Green Bay, Atlanta game. Saturday, college football, Clemson and Louisville. Tennessee, Florida. Texas, USC. Tons of baseball all week and weekend. Get every pick, every game, every sport, every day. Boxing and MMA as well. Daily fantasy, football rosters, baseball too. PharrellOnTheBench.com has it all. Great price, $35 a month. Get you every single pick in every sport. Killer results. Go sign up. You're going to love it. PharrellOnTheBench.com. 855-212-4CBS to get on the bench. Mary in D.C.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
Hey, since you're a world-renowned maker of bets, how will the Redskins fare against the L.A. Rams this weekend?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't trust them. I think, you know, you would think they'd beat the Rams, but I'm not sure they're better than the Rams. They looked really bad, I thought, against the Eagles. And I think that quarterback of theirs is the most overrated quarterback I've ever seen in my life. And I definitely think he's the most overpaid quarterback in the league. That guy, it is beyond reproach that guy is getting paid $24 million. And, I mean, he's average. He's average at best. I don't get it. I'll never understand that. Next year he's going to make, what, $34 million? It is unbelievable to me the amount of money that guy makes for what he gives him. I mean, what does he do? Like, he has a couple of flashy things he says every year that gets viral or whatever you want to call it, is you like that or whatever the hell else he yells. They don't win. And I don't, you know, I mean, last year I thought at the end of the season that game against the Giants was pathetic. And then I thought, you know, their opening game against Philly this year was pathetic. You know, so that probably spells that they'll go beat the Rams' ass. But I don't trust them as far as you can spit, and that's just all there is to it. And I'm sure they're, you know, going to find some success this season. They always do. I mean, they're always decent. I think they're a decent football team always. I don't think they're terrible. But I think right now they look bad, and I think you think they look bad. I think you were disappointed in them. Am I wrong?
And they look very pathetic.
Right. So, I mean, I don't trust them right now. And
they don't have any running game. And their receivers leave a lot to be desired.
Yeah, I thought it would hurt them to lose Jackson. But, look, stranger things have happened. I don't, you know. Like, I bet on the Rams last week and they hit, and then you bet on the Rams twice. Fool me once, fool me twice. I think they're a dangerous team to bet on. The Rams always find a way to suck, and they always find a way to lose. I don't, I trust them less than I trust the Redskins, to be perfectly honest with you. Well, there you go. So, 855-212-4227. Joe in Houston.
Pharrell, I love you, man. Pour me a drink.
Can we get Joe a beverage? This is unbelievable.
Say, listen, let me tell you something, man. I was on the line a while ago. Let me tell you something. Tom Savage is trash, Pharrell. I told you he was good last year.
So now you've turned on him?
No, I haven't, but I think when you got a good young quarterback, I think we need to go with him, Pharrell. Come on now. Now, look what happened last week, Pharrell. You're a gambling man. Come on, player.
I am. So now you're high on Watson.
Well,
Dwayne Brown back.
We need Dwayne Brown. We need Dwayne Brown back on that line, Pharrell.
Listen, your offensive line is terrible, and what did you
they
think?
Are.
What did you think? Yeah. What did you think of my boy Kush getting popped for PED, son?
We don't like that, son.
He should have died when he was a baby.
He should have died when he was a baby. He's taking all them drugs. Don't do that.
You should not do drugs, particularly when you're a baby.
Yeah, yeah. For real. Listen, now on the cool though, man.
They're breaking up. Swiss Family. What? What? You're breaking up. So say it again.
That's wrong. That's wrong what Cushion did. What is up with that, man? Is he got a drug problem?
No, he just likes being ripped and throwing people around like they're garbage. So it takes violence to be able to pick someone up and throw them on the ground like they're garbage. So he's always, I think he's always, you know, everybody says he's been juicing since high school, man.
Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't put that on that man.
I think he has. I mean, most people think he has. They've accused him of it at every step along the way. He's been accused. They've talked about it since he was in high school. And then he finally started getting popped when he went to pro football when they test. I don't think they were testing him in high school or at USC.
So whatever. What you think, Pharrell?
I just cannot believe, like, do you think you have a chance tomorrow night with Watson? It's his birthday. Maybe he'll get lucky on his birthday. Maybe God will be on his side on his birthday, and he'll get a lucky win.
Man, I am glad you let me talk, man. I think Bill O'Brien going to be fired. Deshaun Watson should be playing in this game tomorrow. I know it's going to be rough on us, but I think he should play for real. What you think, bro?
Hey, Joe, tell me what happened with the Harvey and the floods and everything and the hurricane. What happened to you?
Well, I was good. My family, we got spurred, and I was real good. You know, I heard you talking to John McClain. You know, he's a legend in this town, out here in H-Town. I heard you talking to him, but I'm glad you talked to him. But on my side of town, there wasn't no real major flooding, but I'm just glad everybody got spurred. And like John McClain, he's a legend in this town. And it was just, like, good listening to y'all, man.
So you're telling me that where you live, nothing happened at all, and you just watched
nothing
it?
Happened.
And then everybody else drowned?
Everybody else around, like in the Kingwood, where I was at, it was like I got spurred for real, you know what I mean? And I got family, and some of my family came up to where I live in East Texas, and they were spurred for real. That's what I'm saying.
You were sitting back drinking gin and puffing on blunts, and everybody else was in rowboats.
Don't pull me in. Don't do me like that. But I think about my family every day. I love you. That's what I'm saying. Don't do me like that. But I love you. But you right. You pretty much right. But not no blunts. But
right.
No, you right.
Right.
I love you, man.
All right, Joe. Listen. Call me tomorrow night when the game's going on. We'll see what the Texans are doing.
I will. You know what I told you about telling Sam. I'm going to call you tomorrow.
Your boy Savage, last year he was your favorite son. Now you've turned on him.
Listen, for real, you got me out of New York. I'm going to call you tomorrow.
You're breaking up. Good luck to you. Ever since that hurricane, the communications there have been sour, very bleak. Signals in the city.
It's good to know he was all right, though.
His family was all right, and he loves us. 855-212-4227. I see Jamie Eisenberg's tweeting on here. He challenged Mafia last week to a fantasy battle.
I heard that.
Then he had a huge day on Sunday and won like every single league he's in. Like the first day, he just killed everybody. He's a genius. I wonder if his family was drinking gin and juice and smoking blunts during Irma. You know, it's weird how some people, like, did you hear Haro? He said nothing happened at all in Jupiter.
And no, then, nothing happened.
Like in Boca, there was nothing. And then in Miami and in, like, Jacksonville got leveled with flooding. Like, it was just crazy. How is it that half of it, nothing happened? And then everywhere else, like, remember, like, the Keys got leveled.
Didn't look
Tampa,
like nothing happened on TV.
Naples got leveled. I mean, it was crazy. I got to tell you, I watched that Hurricane Irma coverage over the weekend like no one's business. I mean, I watched it just endlessly. I was watching it even during the NFL games, I was still watching it. Because wasn't it like Sunday all day that it was really happening? I got to tell you.
Yeah, I think that's when the heaviest part it was Sunday.
I told you before, no offense to anybody. Because I think it's very dangerous. And it's very sad what happened to everybody. I hope everybody's okay. And I mean that. But I've always said to you, I love that. That, I mean, honestly, that catastrophe television is just fantastic. You can't deny that watching those hurricanes and the weather reports, like these guys standing in that rain and wind and like 100-mile-an-hour wind, some guy trying to do a live stand-up on TV, you don't think that's crazy? And there's trees flying by the guy's head and garbage cans? You don't think that's crazy?
I was thinking that's the stupidest thing because you have these guys sitting there telling you how all the mayors and the governors and telling people that they should evacuate and anybody here is on their own. And if you stayed here, it's ridiculous as they're standing there.
How about, though, I got to tell you, whose idea was it, seriously, that they always put these politicians on these shows to talk about we're talking to the mayor of Key West, and he's like, oh, we're just so blessed to have you put us on the air today and tell you about our calamity. They always talk to the mayors and the governors and the senator and the congressman, and it's just like, I'd rather listen to people that live there that are actually real instead of these fake, cheesy, money-grubbing politicians. Honestly, that's my political segment for the evening. I know how sensitive Mafia and Carver High get when I talk politics.
Very sensitive. I can't believe the guys who, like, you saw that day where they have, like...
I have no comment because the White House has given their statement on this already. Thank you. No comment about anything political. I refer to the White House and the fat chick that does all the info news release. The press secretary lady, the fat one.
Sanders.
Let her talk.
She's good.
No quote. I don't even know her name. You're calling her that. I'm just calling her some fat chick. Now am I going to be in trouble for that? Probably.
Anything's possible.
Carver High, just every day now, I'm in trouble for something. Go ahead, Carver High. Go tell your friends in the suits. I know you hung out with them tonight in here at a big party. Did they bring some more chicken wraps tonight for their news release?
No.
Did they say hi to me on the way out?
Not to you.
Did they talk about Jemele Hill with you on the way out?
Not with me.
There you go. Mafia.
Talked about other things.
Is there anything else you want me to add to that, Mafia? Or am I done with my political segment for the evening?
No, I think you've covered it all.
That covers it. Did you want me to apologize? Didn't you say a bunch of people want me to apologize for something?
No, not a bunch.
I'm not apologizing for anything, ever, at this point. I'm not a sorry kind of guy. But I do cheat in golf. I just wanted to say that.
Most people do.
All right, so I really don't think she's fat. I just wanted to say that. I don't even know. Is she fat? It's okay to be fat. It's okay. Blame Pharrell for. Bob Davey is a criminal now, they're saying. Treats people bad. How about the last guy that treated people bad? He got a job as the Ohio State offensive coordinator in like 5 minutes. Bob Davey probably going to get a job at the White House.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.